In the grim workhouses of Victorian England, a small boy dares to ask for more. "Please, sir, I want some more." With these six simple words, Oliver Twist challenges an entire social order. Charles Dickens' 1837 novel wasn't merely entertainment. It was a deliberate attack on a society that warehoused its poor in conditions deliberately made harsh to discourage dependency. Through Oliver's eyes, we witnessed the cruelty of institutions supposedly designed to help the vulnerable. The novel struck such a nerve that it helped spark actual reform of England's poor laws. What makes this story endure nearly two centuries later isn't just its social critique, but its perfect balance of darkness and hope. Oliver's journey from workhouse to London's criminal underworld to eventual salvation creates a narrative that still captivates us today. Why does this Victorian orphan's tale continue to resonate? Perhaps because the fundamental question it poses remains urgent. How do we measure a society if not by how it treats its most vulnerable members? Oliver enters the world as society's ultimate outsider, an orphan whose mother dies in childbirth at a workhouse. Nameless until arbitrarily labeled Twist, he becomes property of a system designed to punish poverty itself. The workhouse provides just enough gruel to prevent death, but never satisfy hunger. When 9-year-old Oliver approaches with his empty bowl saying, "Please, sir, I want some more," his request is treated as rebellion. His punishment includes solitary confinement and apprenticeship to an undertaker, where he serves as a mute at children's funerals, chosen for his naturally melancholy expression caused by hunger. After enduring Noah Claypole's mockery of his dead mother, Oliver fights back and faces punishment, revealing an innate dignity that refuses submission to injustice. He flees to London with nothing but his clothes. There, Oliver meets the artful Dodger who leads him to Fagin, a rat-like villain masking evil with false kindness. In Fagin's dilapidated den, Oliver believes the boys make handkerchiefs, unaware he's entered a school for pickpockets. Dickens creates a disturbing parody of family life, Fagin as the twisted patriarch providing food in exchange for criminal service, while Oliver's innocent laughter during pickpocketing practice reveals his fundamental purity amid corruption. When Oliver faces false theft accusations, Mr. Brownlow, the alleged victim, notices the boy's innocent demeanor and intervenes. Despite the magistrate's prejudice, Brownlow takes the feverish child to his Pentonville home. In this comfortable house, Oliver experiences genuine care for the first time. Mrs. Bedwin nurses him with maternal tenderness while he enjoys clean sheets, nourishing food, and books. Significantly, he's addressed as Master Twist rather than just boy or workhouse. During recovery, Oliver becomes fixated on a portrait that seems oddly familiar, a mystery with future importance. Brownlow embodies Victorian gentlemanly virtues, educated, principled, and compassionate. His library symbolizes knowledge Oliver has been denied. This newfound happiness makes what follows more tragic. When trusted with an errand, Oliver is recognized by Nancy from Fagin's gang, who, with Bill Sykes, forcibly returns him to Fagin. His unheeded cries reveal how easily vulnerable individuals vanish within London's vast anonymity. Dickens introduces Bill Sykes, the novel's most terrifying character, a brutal man who rules through fear with his scarred face, heavy boots, and club. Unlike Fagin's calculating evil masked by joviality, Sykes embodies raw violence. Even his abused dog, Bullseye, follows him with disturbing loyalty. Nancy emerges as the novel's most complex character. Not yet 20, she's grown up in Fagin's world, yet retains a moral core. Though she initially helps recapture Oliver, she soon becomes his protector. Her struggle between loyalty to her criminal family and moral instincts creates profound tension. Fagin forces Oliver to join Sykes in a house burglary. Realizing the criminal nature too late, Oliver resolves to warn the household instead. When the robbery fails, Oliver is shot and abandoned. Wounded, he crawls to the very house they attempted to rob, home to Mrs. Maley and her niece, Rose. Nancy's conscience awakens when she overhears Fagin and Monks plotting against Oliver. Meeting secretly with Rose, she seeks help but refuses escape. I am chained to my old life. I loathe and hate it now, but I cannot leave it. As Oliver recovers with the Maleys, the novel shifts from social commentary to mystery. The countryside setting contrasts with London's dangers, offering Oliver his first genuine childhood experience. His gratitude manifests as devoted service to Rose Maley, whose goodness mirrors his own. Nancy risks her safety when her conscience drives her to meet secretly with Rose and Mr. Brownlow. She reveals that Monks, Oliver's half-brother, is determined to destroy evidence of Oliver's identity. When offered escape from her criminal life, Nancy refuses, showing how poverty and circumstance can trap people as effectively as chains. Brownlow forces Monks to confess. Oliver is the illegitimate son of Edwin Leaford and Agnes Fleming, entitled to inheritance Monks covets. The portrait in Brownlow's house that affected Oliver was his mother. Rose Maley is revealed as Oliver's maternal aunt, connecting him by blood to his benefactors. The emotional climax comes with Nancy's murder by Sykes after Noah Claypole spies on her meeting with Brownlow. She dies protecting Oliver while still professing love for her murderer, a complex psychological truth beyond melodrama. In Oliver Twist's conclusion, Dickens delivers a moral accounting with fitting consequences for all characters. Bill Sykes, haunted by Nancy's murder, flees London, but cannot escape her memory. His accidental hanging serves as cosmic justice. Fagin's capture and trial culminate in a complex final encounter with Oliver that evokes momentary pity without absolving his crimes. The Bumbles face ironic justice by becoming inmates in their own workhouse, experiencing the very degradation they once inflicted on others, reinforcing Dickens's critique of institutional hypocrisy. For Oliver, justice means finding family. Adopted by Brownlow and discovering Rose as his aunt, he gains the family he deserved. The epilogue shows Oliver living in the countryside near his loved ones, representing his escape from urban corruption to rural virtue. Oliver Twist remains relevant by addressing timeless questions about society's responsibility to vulnerable members. Though workhouses have vanished, the issues Dickens highlighted, childhood poverty, institutional callousness, and social inequality, persist globally. Oliver embodies a powerful moral argument. His innate goodness, despite harsh circumstances, suggests environment may influence but not determine character. This hopeful message explains readers' emotional investment in his journey. Dickens revolutionized the portrayal of childhood as a distinct, valuable phase rather than merely preparation for adulthood. Oliver's deprivation of normal childhood experiences is presented as a moral wrong requiring remedy. Most significantly, Oliver Twist demonstrates literature's power to create empathy across social boundaries. By making readers care deeply about a workhouse orphan, Dickens bridged the empathy gap that allowed Victorian society to ignore suffering, a reminder of fiction's capacity to expand moral imagination in our divided world.